Rachel Greenberg, and this is Volta Insider. I'm here at the 2017 White House Correspondents' Weekend Garden Brunch. This annual event welcomes the hardworking women and men of Washington, D.C., and people from all over the world who have a stake in what happens here in our nation's capital. This weekend marks the 103rd White House Correspondents Association dinner and the first of the Trump administration. This year, the Garden Brunch is honoring two pillars of American democracy, military veterans and the press. So, we're talking to people about the importance of supporting our troops and their families and what it means to have a free press. Welcome to Volta Insider. Senator Mark Warner, what would you say to young people who want to get involved in the political arena?
I think it's more important than ever for young people to be involved, because if young people tune out, all you do is turn the keys over to the political extremes on the left or the right. And for a nation that's got $20 trillion in debt, to leave that kind of debt to millennials, to our kids, would be a disaster. That's why your voices need to be heard. But in many ways, for millennials, for young people to be involved and engaged, it's harder than ever, because you've got to have a higher level of responsibility, a higher level of screening what you see that may come across your news feed, because you got to make a determination, is this real news, is it fake news? When I was growing up, there were only a few trusted media outlets that in effect curated your news, so you knew if it came out of Walter Cronkite's mouth, it might probably be true.
Right.
Today, you've got, as an informed citizen, to really have to do a sorting and a curation process that previous generations haven't had to. And so not only do we need young people's engagement and involvement, but we need their involvement at a level that's frankly higher than even, say, 20 years ago.
And what is it like to be an event like this that's honoring the press?
Well, it's fun to be at an event like this where we're kind of get past our adversarial roles. We're not Democrats or Republicans today. We're not press or policymakers. We're all Americans celebrating, in a sense, our most quintessential American component, and that is a free and open press that is able to appropriately criticize us when we screw up, and we've screwed up a lot in recent times, but it also means there needs to be responsibility from the press to really make sure you go after the truth. The press, that you go for that second source or that third source so you don't put out false news, because one of the things, as we saw in the 2016 presidential election, where we had an outside country like Russia try to interfere, what they wanted to try to do was delegitimize our electoral process, delegitimize the news. Unfortunately, at times when then candidate Trump said the system was rigged, that didn't help matters very much. So my hope is we'll all be able to kind of up our game. But for this weekend, it's just a chance to enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
April Bryan, White House correspondent. And you've had quite a year this year. Have you ever experienced anything as intense before?
Yeah, with Robert Gibbs, but we moved on. It happens every now and again. Well, at least for me, it happened. I'm over it. We move on. It's about the news. It's not about me.
What advice would you give to young journalists who are up and coming during this time?
Have a tough skin. Look at all sides of the story. Ask questions, real questions. Our questions are about the American public. It's not about us. And the dynamic of the news media has changed drastically. But I would say have a tough skin and know your craft. And be honest, factual, and truthful. Thank you.
Graham Moore, Academy Award-winning screenwriter and author. Tell us a little bit about why you're here today and what's so important about the causes we're supporting.
I'm here to celebrate journalists and all the great work that journalists do on this long weekend. You know, I work in Hollywood, I live in LA, which is a very kind of cloistered environment of the people who make things up for a living, and this is a great way to celebrate people who tell the truth for a living.
And as a writer, do you sympathize with some of the reporters who are being delegitimized or told that they're, you don't know this, you don't know this?
that?
I do. I think that it is important to stick up for truth in an environment in which that is not always valued. And I am so privileged to be able to support the people who are putting their necks on the lines every day to do that.
Thank you so much for speaking. Stephanie Rule, MSNBC anchor. What advice would you give to young people going into journalism at this time?
Work hard and take your time. It's super exciting to get clicks and popularity, but doing the right thing and doing the smart thing long term will pay off much more than popularity at the moment.
And what is it like being in an event like this, honoring the press?
It's just exciting. This has been one of the most exciting times for me in my career. So to be around people who I read their stuff, I watch their stuff every day, it's awesome. This is a time where there are some pretty fearless people in journalism, and I'm excited to be around them and honor them.
Great, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mark Testoni, President and CEO of SAP NS2. And you guys have a program, NS2 Serves. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. NS2 Serves is a program we started to give back. You know, it's about corporate responsibility, social responsibility, and we were looking for a way to help veterans because it's part of our business constituency, are in the military and others around the military. So we saw a need. We've seen a lot about over the last 5 years about veteran unemployment, and although the aggregate numbers have come down, if you look at it from a macro perspective, and they're better, it's still about hiring people, getting people, individual people into jobs and careers. And there's all veterans have great skills that they come out of the military with: integrity, mission orientation, teamwork. But not all of them have the same technical skills. Many of them don't have college degrees. Some of them may have skills that don't translate as well, like being a rifleman in the Army doesn't necessarily translate. So we try to take those veterans that don't have those technical skills, many of them have them, and we focus on them, and we bring them in for 3 months, all at our expense, and we take them and train them to become IT professionals in big data IT. It's a very tough, rigorous program, but then they come out the other end and we work to get them employed in jobs. And so far, after doing this for 3 years, we put 119 through, and every one of them has had a job, an employment opportunity.
Oh, that's really incredible.
Yeah, we think it's great, and we think it's an important model because what makes IT and tech so important is I think there's a skill set gap in this country of several million jobs that go unfilled because people don't have the skills to do them. So this model could apply not only to veterans but others, and tech are a lot of these jobs that we have in this country. So we're proud of what we do, and we think we obviously have a much broader impact than the veteran. It has impacts on lives and families and those kinds of things.
Well, that's really wonderful. What can people at home do to support you guys and support these kind of programs?
Well, public awareness is really important. If you know a veteran out there, and the veterans that we take don't need to have technical skills, they just need to have a desire to work, and we'll take a look at them. They can go to our website, which is ns2serves.org, and learn more about the program and apply. Also, if there are companies that are looking to hire vets with technical skills, we'd love to hear from them as well. Or if there are companies that maybe are looking to get involved and create a program similar to this where they could train veterans in whatever it is that they do, we'd be glad to help and mentor them. And then finally, if there are folks that just have a philanthropic interest, maybe be willing to donate to our foundation or our charitable organization that does this, we could do more. I mean, today we've done 60 a year, 40 a year the last 3 years, and this for the first year we're going to have a third course and actually do 60 this year. We're excited about that.
That's wonderful.
But we think we could scale it more if we had more resources. So.
And is this a nationwide program, or is it just in the East Coast area?
It is a nationwide program. We've had veterans now from 34 states, but they apply from all over the country. We've had them from as far away as the West Coast, California, and as close by as 10 minutes from where they're training. But it's from all over the country.
Thank you. That's really great. Thank you so much for speaking with me, and good luck.
Thank you, Rachel.
Andrew Bailey, a veteran of the NS2 Serves program. Could you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to apply and go through the program?
Yes. So NS2 Serves is a 3-month program. It gets you certified in some SAP IT products. Reason I got into it, I transitioned out of the military, needed some specialized skills, like the IT world, so decided to join and do the NS2 Serves program.
And so you say you work for sales, now this is an IT program. Were you intending to go into sales? Were you intending to go to Silicon Valley?
Actually, did not know where it was going to take me, and in the process I kind of saw the sales role and selling the products, which really inspired me, or I enjoyed that, so that's kind of why I transitioned to the sales side.
And during the program, what kind of things did you learn?
So the program, over the 3 months, you got certified in a couple different products, leading edge technology that is huge on the commercial side and then also on public sector and kind of the intelligence community. So you got certified in that and then also some other programs, so some design thinking, some other ways to kind of think coming from a very vertical organization and structured to kind of transitioning to more of a horizontal kind of workforce. And yeah.
And what would you say to encourage other veterans to apply for the NS2 Serves program?
I would say keep an open mind. Even if IT consulting is not exactly what you want to do, especially for me, it's opened up doors and I'm more in a sales role that I really enjoy and find it fulfilling.
Thank you for your service and thank you for speaking.
Thank you. Thank you.
Debbie Dingell, Congresswoman from the 12th District of Michigan.
What advice would you give to young people who are going into the political arena or want to become journalists? What kind of advice would you give them in this sort of shaky time?
So, first of all, I'm not going to let us call this a shaky time. This is America, and we have a great democracy, and in the end, we're all going to pull together and protect that democracy. But for a young person, I would tell you not to get a political science degree. I would tell you to find what your passion is, what you care about. Is it the environment? Is it education? Is it healthcare? And study that issue. Follow your passion and your love, and then when you become an expert, you become educated, you can follow that where it takes you. So if you want to go into politics, if you want to go fight for those issues, you're an expert and bring that expertise to the public policy arena. And if you're a journalist, you bring your writing skills, you bring your ability to shine lights, and bring an expertise to the media, to the press perspective.
Great, thank you. And what is it like being an event like this, honoring democracy and honoring our veterans?
You know, I don't spend as much time as I used to in Washington. As soon as the last vote's over, I race home. But this weekend is a celebration of freedom of the press, which is one of the most fundamental pillars of our democracy. So that's important. And a free and open press keeps all of us accountable, not just elected officials, but keeps corporate, keeps the country. It's a very, very important leg of democracy and accountability. And it also is a weekend that I get to see my friends who I don't get to see enough of. You get to meet new people, and it brings us all together and reminds us that we do are all Americans, we love our country, and when we come together, we'll always be able to protect it and make sure it thrives.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Stelter, host of Reliable Sources. You host a show called Reliable Sources. What advice would you give to young people who are going into the journalism field?
Thinking about the title of my program, everything is a source now. Everybody's a source. The president is a source on Twitter. Companies and nonprofits and congressmen, everybody's a source. What's reliable is the hard part of the sentence. Reliable sources, trying to get to what is actually trustworthy and reliable. As that gets harder and harder, there's more and more opportunity for journalists to be a part of the solution. There's so many problems involving media right now. There's so many attempts to tear down the press, to delegitimize the press, but it also makes it a more interesting time to be a part of the solution. And I see a lot of students nowadays who seem even more motivated to be a part of it.
My name is Art Bilger, and I am the founder and CEO of an entity called Working Nation.
And Could you tell us a little bit about Working Nation?
Working Nation is an entity that I've set up, which is about, I would say, the most critical issue facing our nation. And this is something that I set up, started working on about 3.5 years ago, about the issue of a potential massive structural unemployment in this country. Combination of globalization, technology, longevity, keeping people alive so they stay in the workforce much longer, and broken education, all coming together at the same time like never before in history. And what's happening is our first piece that we produced was called Slope of the Curve, because I came up with the idea that the slope of the curve of change in jobs and skills measured against time has never been so steep before. We are changing at such a rapid rate, we actually have no idea how fast it's changing. And I really believe that there are incredible solutions out there, but we all have to become much more aware of what the jobs of the future will be, and then what are the solutions that people are working on. And that's the mission of Working Nation, is through storytelling to highlight where the jobs of the future will be and what are the solutions.
And how can we support this cause? How can we support Working Nation?
The key is creating awareness as broadly as possible. Not only think tank people, not only major influences, but across the nation, because without creating the awareness of these issues and then highlighting the solutions, we will not, I don't believe we'll move fast enough. And so we are looking to speak to literally everyone in this country eventually. Obviously we got to go step by step.
A lot of people.
So to the extent that you and others here can help get this word out, and again, we're focused on solutions. A lot of people now are talking about the issue, but few, if any, are talking about the solutions.
Can you actually register your friend?
And my view is the solutions are largely local. It's corporations, it's not-for-profits, it's academic entities, and it's local government coming together in different combinations. Now, not to... I'm standing in Washington, D.C., so I don't want to... But I don't believe the federal government is the solution. Yes, can federal budget policy, tax policy have influence? Yes. But the solutions are at the local level. And we have discovered in these 3.5 years hundreds and hundreds of solutions that are being worked on today. And we want to tell those stories so they can spread dramatically.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Jonathan Capehart, Washington Post and MSNBC contributor. What advice would you give to young people who are either going into the political arena or into journalism?
Whether it's politics or journalism, it's follow your passion. Work for that member of Congress or elected official who is good on the issue that you care about. Go to a publication or a television station or a radio station or a media outlet that will let you focus on what you want to focus on, or that focuses specifically on what you care about. And then specifically for young people who want to go into journalism, things are a lot more open and free than it was when I was your age. There are many ways to write, many outlets to write. I would just say, rather than, you know, want to be able to constantly, I want to write for the Washington Post or I want to write for the New York Times and I don't know what to do, just write. Just do it. Get your ideas out there. This is the most free moment in terms of journalism, in terms of expression, that I have ever seen. And so if you have a passion for something, if you really care about something, just do it. And people will notice. We've seen that time and time again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I'm Megan Ogilvie, and I'm the CEO of Dog Tagging.
I'm Cedric Banks, and I am the CEO of the Virginia Life Institute and also an alum of the Dog Tag program.
And could you tell us a little bit about the Dog Tag program from the CEO perspective and as someone who has gone through the program?
Sure. So Dog Tag Inc. is a nonprofit. We're a 501c3 based right here in Washington, D.C. We recruit veterans of service-connected disabilities, spouses, and caregivers to go through a five-month fellowship program where they earn a certificate in business administration from Georgetown University while utilizing our small business of a bakery right here in Georgetown as experiential learning, an incubator to understand small business and entrepreneurship. And then on top of that, we work on the soft skills, provide different workshops on the culture of going back into the workforce, as well as empowering to understand what the next steps mean for them. So the goal of our program is for each fellow to come in and define what success means to them and to allow us to be part of that journey and getting them launched moving forward.
Wonderful.
That was pretty good. Yeah. The only thing she forgot is, one, Dog Tag, I believe it's a pioneer. And it's a family entity. And what I mean by family is when you join the program, you come there for the business entrepreneurship, to learning to start your own business and entrepreneurship. But you quickly become part of a family. And that family supports you on your growth path. And I think that's the most critical piece, where you feel like, I got a force backing me. You know, you're not by yourself. You and I both know when you take two or three or and you put them together, when you band them together, they're a lot stronger. And that's not just the students within the program, it's the whole team. It's the staff included. I feel like not that we just grow or that we just, the students just cause each other to grow, but the whole staff, the whole, all the students, the whole team grew together as a team. To me, with my own business, that tells me what's important. Family and close friends and unity and people to have your back. And I think when you think of all the other nonprofit organizations, there's some great nonprofit organization out there for veterans. But most nonprofit organizations cover a piece of the pie. I think when you think about Dog Tag Bakery, no pun intended, it is the pie. And I mean, you can see why, it's a bakery, so, and it's delicious. But it really is the cradle to operational in reference to self-development and professional development.
That was good too.
Congressman Daryl Issa from California.
What advice would you give to young people who are either going into politics or into journalism?
Well, you know, my advice in either case is do something else first. The breadth of talent of people who go straight into politics, straight into journalism, there's plenty of them. The outliers, the people who make a difference, are the people who come with something to offer. And so if, particularly in the case of politics, you know, life experience, real understanding, whether it's working in soup kitchens or working on Wall Street, try to make sure you bring something other than a desire to vote. The person who comes with a blank slate, it'll be filled in by lobbyists. The person who comes with their own views based on life experience will tend to be able to meld the two, what the lobbyists say, what the constituents say, and quite frankly, what they already know.
Mark Ein, entrepreneur.
Tell us a little bit about what this year's brunch means to you.
Yeah, well, it's great that we're here celebrating journalism. I think it's great that the weekend's back to the court. Good journalism's never been more important than it is today, and I think it's great that the entire spotlight is shining on the great journalists in America and around the world.
Joe Goldman, president of the Democracy Fund.
The Democracy Fund is a private foundation created by the founder of eBay, and our mission is to help the public rebuild a sense of faith in our political system.
And as I understand it, you guys are nonpartisan. Could you tell me a little bit about that and why that's so important?
Well, look, it is not a left or right issue to care about this country and our political system. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you want this country to work, and you want to make sure that the people are driving where this country goes. And so that's not a partisan issue.
And what kind of programs and methods of engagement are you guys using?
Yeah, so I mean, again, as a private foundation, we support a wide array of organizations working to strengthen our democracy. Last month, we committed $12 million in support of press freedom and independent journalism. So nonprofit newsrooms like ProPublica, press advocates like the Reporters Committee for Press Freedom, organizations really working to make sure that hard-hitting, truth-seeking journalism has a place in our country.
And what is it like being an event like this that is honoring veterans and honoring the press?
You know, this is about the best of our country, and this is about what a healthy democracy at its core is. And so to be able to be a part of it is just a wonderful thing.
And what kind of advice would you have for young people who are going into the journalism field and want to make sure that they are truth-seeking, hard-hitting reporters?
I think, you know, don't accept the old ways that things used to get done, right? There's media is reinventing itself, and there are whole new opportunities to be involved and to really have a voice.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Maria Teresa Kumar.
So I'm the CEO of Voto Latino, and we focus on young American Latino youth to participate in democracy. And we just launched a campaign that is, when they go low, we go local. And so we have right now 13 college campuses, and we're training them on voter registration and how do you actually have resilience during this kind of crazy time we're living in. And we launched an app that's called Voter Pal. So you can download it for your iPhone or for your Android, and you can start registering your friends to vote, and then you can have a leaderboard and see all the people that you're registering.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's exciting.
And so what is it like to be an event like this?
Never, we have to recognize the strength of making sure that we have a strong journalism to ensure that we are telling people the truth and being transparent and honoring their work, because sometimes it's not easy. And at the same time, when it comes to our vets, always recognizing that the reason that we enjoy our freedoms is because they're willing to sacrifice so much more because they deeply believe in our country.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Volta Insider. This has been a production of Haddad Media. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and check out more of our interviews on VoltaInsider.com.